speaking up for the rest of us. He is America's voice, Steve Gruber.
Well, somebody had to do it, right? I mean, somebody had to step up and do it. Yeah, there you go. We heard the president announce here a few days ago that phase one of a deal with China on trade had been put together. Phase one, he said this has to be done over several phases, but said it would involve agriculture, tens of billions of dollars, some high-tech issues, intellectual properties, and other issues also being addressed. But what's really there? Let's sort it out. Brian Rowley, the director of trade initiatives at the National Taxpayers Union. Brian, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to you. All right, so from what you've heard and read and can understand, where are we with the negotiations with China on trade today?
Well, that sounds like a pretty straightforward question, but earlier this week, there was announced, actually last Friday, announced that there was a deal that was going to avert new tariffs on imports from China, would have bumped our tariff rate from about 25% to 30% on billions of dollars of imports. However, there's been no official written release on what was contained on the deal between the U.S. and China. Clearly, one of the things that was agreed to was that China will purchase more U.S. agricultural products. They've talked about $40 billion, $50 billion. And if that's $50 billion a year in ag exports, that's a big deal for agricultural producers. But again, we haven't seen the details yet. Immediately after the U.S. started touting the deal, China was kind of slow walking, saying, well, wait a minute, this is just in principle. We haven't signed anything yet. And I think that points to part of China's strategy in these talks is to delay, postpone, maybe try and make some gestures to make sure more tariffs don't go into effect without making any significant changes.
Now, you're saying they're stalling with their eyes on the 2020 election because they think that they could take advantage of somebody if it was not Donald Trump and his administration. They're hoping for a weaker a trade negotiating partner at the United States White House? Is that what you're suggesting?
I think there are a couple of possibilities. The first is just to wait and see who's going to be in the White House if that changes the U.S. negotiating position. All along, that's been, as we get closer to the 2020 elections, even if they did get hit with more tariffs, they could look at it and say, well, we only have to put up with it till 2020 and then reevaluate things at that stage. So that is certainly one of the possibilities. That's out there. Obviously, China doesn't have to worry about elections. They can if they choose to take a lot of pain without having any electoral consequences. And it's not just at the presidential level, but we have senators and members of Congress who could be affected one way or the other by the harm of whether it's U.S. tariffs or retaliatory tariffs. So China maybe at this point isn't under as much pressure to make the deal as initially many observers thought.
We do have a pretty good idea, though, that they made a deal on pork and beans, on pork products and soybeans. The Chinese are taking pork and beans, not the old-fashioned kind, but the new kind, soybeans, you know. The Japanese also taking billions of dollars worth of agricultural products. I would guess that takes some pressure off farmers across the country at a time when they've had a difficult year because of all the rain in the spring across the Corn Belt and so forth. I would expect this helps them some, anyhow. Your thoughts?
No, it really should be significant. You mentioned the U.S.-Japan deal. That helps us get more access when we decided not to go ahead with the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Some of our competitors, farmers in Australia and New Zealand, benefited from being a part of that deal. So this helps us get better access to Japan's market. But the numbers that have been talked about for U.S. ag exports to China are huge. It would be really beneficial to farmers. It would also mean that we could, as taxpayers, stop subsidizing farmers. Right now we have a temporary program since we lost exports as a result of the trade war. We're sending aid to farmers. It sure be nice for them to be able just to earn that money through selling the goods instead of having to rely on more government support. So it's again, we're waiting on the details, but it really could be quite significant and remove one of the big harms that's been inflicted on Americans. And here on the East Coast, where I live, a lot of people just don't seem to have, they'll say nice things about farmers, but they just they'll talk about this trade war like, man, nobody's really being hurt. So I don't think you have any soybean farmers in your family because it's caused a lot of damage.
Yeah, I've talked to several farmers. Yeah. In fact, I've talked to several farmers. One in particular here recently runs a big operation here not far from me, turns about 10,000 acres, big operation, and said he's getting crushed by the soybean prices and the trade problems. Of course, that was about 6 weeks ago. I haven't checked back in with him to see how he is. But he also said he intended to vote for Donald Trump. Because, like a lot of farmers, they said, you know, it's short-term pain for long-term gain because they really believe that this president is fighting for them. And even though they're taking it on the chin this year financially a bit, more than they would like, certainly, they're willing to fight for this president as well. Do you find that unusual?
Well, you look at it, if the farmers are going to have a Trump,
I'm sorry. I was sorry.
The alternative is going to be a lot of them might prefer him to some of the Democratic candidates who have regulatory policies, environmental policies that farmers aren't as likely to support. And I heard that a lot from farmers early on. And it's easy to say that before the pain, you know, short-term pain for long-term gain. But what if the short-term pain becomes long-term pain? And that's when farmers might start changing their minds. We can do business and make plans for lower prices per year, but if that drags on to 2 years, 3 years, and you're looking at lots of markets that just aren't going to immediately come back,
right?
That's something that's going to be concerning if you're in the agriculture industry.
Brian Riley, greatly appreciate your time. Director of the Trade Initiative of the National Taxpayers Union. We'll keep an eye on it because obviously the tariffs have been in the news a lot, and we'll keep an eye on our farmers as well. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Friday here on the program. And I have talked to numerous farmers. In my world, I live closer to cows than anything else. That's the way I appreciate it. My closest neighbors are cows. It's the way I like the world. And so I talk to farmers a fair bit. And even though they're taking it on the chin this year financially, they seem to be okay with the idea of giving this president another chance, another 4 years, because they do believe the long-term payoff will be worth it for them. They believe that the America First policies put them in a good position, a better position, certainly, than somebody that leaves far left and has a socialist standing. They don't want the price controls. They don't want the control, the oversight, the meddling, if you will, from the government the way some would have it as you look at the far left turn from the Democrat Party. So even though it may seem counterintuitive to many, farmers, even though they're losing money in many places right now or not doing as well as they'd like, they intend to stick with this president. That's the message I'm getting. That's the message I'm getting with all sorts of farmers that I have been talking to. So you'll hear a lot of discussion about farmers and their issues in the national media, but I wonder what they really know about the issues. I wonder how many farmers they actually talk to face-to-face, or if they even know any, for that matter. Have they ever met a farmer in the wild? You know, found one out here in the hinterlands and actually found a farmer. Oh, my God, it's Mr. Green Jeans. It's Mr. Green Jeans. It's the farmer right there. It's alive, honey. Get the kids. Take a picture. Right, New York? You ever seen a farmer, New York? It's all right. All right, we get it. Just watch your mouth. It's Friday. 41 after. Oh, the coffee's kicking in. That's good news, right? We've got that going for us. The dumbest thing you've heard all week, we'll start looking into that. You can help me with it. It'll come up after the break.
So, you're finally ready to lose weight. Maybe it's so you won't need medication for diabetes, blood pressure, or high cholesterol. Or maybe it's just to look and feel better. Whatever your reason, MyPureHealthSolutions.com can help. MyPureHealthSolutions.com will customize a weight loss program designed specifically to tackle the hormonal imbalances that cause you to be overweight. It's a program that can be done anywhere, on any schedule. Learn more today at MyPureHealthSolutions.com. MyPureHealthSolutions.com. That's MyPureHealthSolutions.com.
DTE believes that the energy we all use doesn't have to contribute to climate change. That's why within the next 10 years, we will triple renewables and cut carbon emissions in half. And now we're announcing a bold new goal to reach net zero carbon emissions in electric generation by 2050. DTE has long been a leader in clean, affordable, reliable energy. And leaders don't just do what's easy, they do what's right. DTE.
At DTE, we're committed to using our energy to serve and transform communities, helping to create a brighter future for us all through projects like building parks, partnering with schools, job training programs, and volunteering our time to those in need. Because at DTE, we believe we have a responsibility to serve our customers and our communities. Learn more at dteimpact.com. DTE.
The skills you can develop as a soldier in the Army National Guard can give you an edge in the high-tech job market of tomorrow. The Guard offers career training to take advantage of your skills in science, technology, engineering, and math that can help give you a leg up to a high-paying and rewarding STEM profession. Get a head start on your career while earning money to pay for college. Log on to NationalGuard.com to learn about all of the STEM career opportunities in the Army National Guard.
Sponsored by the Michigan Army National Guard. Aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Confirm.